Hey everybody, it's Wednesday. It is time for Snipes and Stripes with me, Tim Peel, right here on NoFilter.net. I'm really excited because I'm in Chicago and it's warm and we're still playing golf here in Chicago. Believe it or not, it's crazy. It was 71 degrees. Played Butler yesterday in a hurricane. And
oh, Butler.
The hardest golf course in the world. I played it in just windy, crazy conditions, but I played pretty well. I shot 80, which on that golf course in those conditions is pretty good. But Tim Peel, how we doing, my buddy? How you doing this week?
I'm good. It was we're only 4 hours apart, but it's 81 here today. It was 81 yesterday. I was going to play yesterday and I got asked to play today, but we're doing our show. It is windy here as well. And I can only imagine playing Butler and shooting 80. That's pretty impressive because that is a great golf course.
I played my ass off too. It was really hard. And fortunately the wind was helping on a lot of the holes, but on some of the holes that it was not helping on, they were like driver, three wood, pitching wedge, on par fours. It's like, what's going on, man? It's crazy. It's crazy. But anyway, thanks to Whiskey in the Wild, my chocolate orange whiskey for sponsorship. Make sure you go to whiskeyinthewild.com, get your whiskey today. And you have Bet Online and your protected neck guards.
Bet Online. Bet Online is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything football. Bet Online is every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads to bet on during the games. Think you know your stuff? Get in on the 200,000 mega contest and pick five games against the spread every week for your chance at weekly prizes and a share of over $200,000. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Bet Online. The game starts here. The game starts here, buddy. We've got a lot of goals the last few nights. We had two teams last night that put up an 8th spot. What's going on in the NHL right now with the goaltending?
I think the goaltenders have taken a step backwards. There's no question about it. Oh, my goodness. There's some teams that are struggling to score goals and some teams that just have the knack, right? Sometimes, yeah. We see what Winnipeg's doing right now. Kyle Connor playing so well. New Jersey starting to fill the net. We could talk about Heischer and Caulfield. These guys are filling the net, but I don't know what's going on, man. I think it's probably a lot of power plays. There's a lot of penalties going around right now with your goaltenders, or the defense just are terrible. Or maybe we're just doing what the NBA just did and said, screw defense. Let's just play offense and just have a track meet. It's pretty wild.
You know what? I'm looking forward to having our Hall of Fame guest on today and Mark Recchi, because one of the questions I'm going to ask him, JR, and I don't want you to answer it yet. We'll see what both you guys have to say, is I don't think we have the level of quality goaltending that we had in the eras that you guys played in with the Brodeurs, the Josephs, the Eddie Belfour, the Hasek's. You could go down the list. There was 8 or 10 studs in the league. I don't think we've got that level of goaltending now. So we'll touch on that later. But I don't think we
have that level of anything in terms of, yes, we have the superstars that are going to go into the Hall of Fame, the Crosbys, the Ovechkins, the McKinnons, the McDavids, maybe the Draisaitls, right? Those are Kucherovs, the Stamkoses. Those guys are going to go in the Hall of Fame. But when you look at it, you look back, and I've said this to you before, the amount of really high-quality stars from 1988 to 2003, let's say, is just immense, both defensive and offensive. And you said goaltenders. I just think across the board. There was just, which is why I think that I'll even say our generation, because you're involved in it, because you were on the ice with us, our generation was the best generation of all time.
I agree. Late 90s, early 2000s, it was the best. But speaking about goaltenders, we've given them love the last couple of weeks, but I'd be remiss not to bring it up. Marc-Andre Fleury made his, I guess it's his last return. I haven't heard officially that he's retiring, but he made his last. He said it was his last return to Pittsburgh last night, and that was pretty impressive to watch.
Well, I think you know how I feel about Marc-Andre Fleury, and he's one of my favorite, not just goaltenders, he's one of my favorite players that have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
He just exudes happiness, loves playing the game, you know, those big white pearly teeth of his when he starts smiling.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that accent because of his French accent, he's got that accent, and he speaks with joy, and it's contagious. You know, he has that contagious type of mentality that he sends across. It makes you feel good. He loves the game. You can tell. I think the teammates love him. And, you know, I said this before, I don't think that there has been a goaltender that has been disrespected more than Marc-Andre Fleury in the last 10 years. I mean, from Pittsburgh letting him go to the expansion draft with Vegas, which I'm sure he didn't dislike, but they just gave up on him. They gave up on him while he was in Pittsburgh and let Matt in there.
Matt Murray,
get in there and take his job. Then in Vegas, they just traded him and let him go. In Chicago, they just let him go. It's been amazing to watch such a popular player just get shipped off so easily and written off so easily. Like, and you know what? He hasn't said anything.
No.
Doesn't complain.
Always takes the high road. I'm laughing. I'm watching the clip last night or yesterday, and they're showing some of the antics that he's done over the last couple of years. And one of them was he was with Pittsburgh. I think it was Brandon Rust. They come out for practice and they're skating around, and somehow he got somebody to tie up all of Russ's clothes, and they're hanging down over top of the ice with a rope, and Russ is looking, going, I think those are my clothes. he's the best. I love him. I love him. I feel the exact same way as you do about him. Watching him in Pittsburgh last night, I was happy they got the win. He got the first star. Sid and Letang took a picture with him after the game. He is revered, loved by the fans, but loved by Sid and his all his teammates that he's played with in Pittsburgh. And you know what? He's going to be a type of guy. I think he'd be great to get into broadcasting afterwards, JR. I think he would kill it with his personality.
Yeah, I don't know how good his English is. Maybe an RDS up in Montreal.
Well, listen, the English isn't very good either, and he's on TNT.
Well, that's not because of lack of English. That's just lack of English classes. That's it. We love Biz. He learned his vocabulary in the locker room. There's no question about that. I was tickled. I guess it's probably the best word I can use. Just I was very overjoyed watching the standing ovation that he got last night in Pittsburgh. And of course, you know, the respect from his ex-teammates to take a picture and to say hi to him. And I think Pittsburgh could use him right now because they are terrible. They have the most goals against in the National Hockey League, 48 goals against in 11 games. That is absolutely unacceptable. It's actually embarrassing, if you ask me, there to be able to with a team with Sidney Crosby, a team with Malkin, a team with Letang, a team that is savvy, being, I know they're older, but they're savvy, to be letting up and playing this bad defensively. I mean, there's no wonder why they're at the bottom of the league right now. And I don't know if it's their goaltending is that bad or the defense is that bad, or just as a team, they're not being coached well enough. But, you know, it's never been a coaching thing, because Mike Sullivan is obviously one of the best in the league.
Correct. I don't think it's a coaching issue. And I'm with you. Sully is one of the best in the league and very well respected. I just don't think they're very good on the back end. Carlson's not good defensively. He's an offensive defenseman. Letang's an offensive defenseman. You can only have so many of those guys. I don't know. I feel bad for Sid because it's got to be killing him, and they're not very good. And I don't see with the contract that they gave.
Yeah, were you surprised that Sid signed again in Pittsburgh?
No, not at all.
I mean, I mean, I am kind of. I understand why he did, but you look at this team. This team is one of the oldest teams in the league. Does he really think that he was going to go there? They were going to have a winning season with the same guys, pretty much the same guys as last year. Now not having Gensel on the team, which is even harder to win hockey games because he was one of your goal scorers. They missed two playoffs back to back, or three playoffs back to back. That's unheard of for Pittsburgh. And now it looks like they're going to miss the playoffs again this year. I mean, obviously it's very early. I shouldn't say that because we know they can get on a run. But with an older team like that and with goaltending issues, like I think they do have, I don't think Tristan Jarry is anywhere near being the goaltender that can change this team around. They got issues.
They do, but I just, you asked me about Sid. I just think they broke the mold when they made him, like himself, Yzerman, Mario, certain guys that no matter what, they wanted to stay with that team. And I think Sid is so invested in Pittsburgh, the city. I just don't think it was even, I doubt that it even crossed his mind for him to go anywhere else.
And it definitely crossed his mind. There's no question.
A few players, OJR, that I could not imagine seeing in another jersey. I couldn't imagine seeing him. I couldn't imagine seeing Ovechkin in another jersey, and we'll get to him in a second. But it might have crossed, I'm sure you're right, it crossed his mind, but it's just not his makeup. It's not his makeup to bail. And not that he would have bailed, but I don't think it's his makeup to say, you know what, I'm gonna go on to a contender. I don't think it's the way Sid's built.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said about that. There's no question. But by no means are they that bad that they should be at the bottom of the standings. And it makes me sad, too, because my other team, the Philadelphia Flyers, are just one slot above them. Neither of them having a good start to the season, which for Pennsylvanians is not a good situation to be in. And by the way, I should reiterate, like, I love Sidney, I love Malkin and Letang. I love these guys. But I don't care if Pittsburgh loses. I'm okay with Pittsburgh losing because I'm a Philly guy, right? I'm supposed to not like Pittsburgh.
I know, but the NHL playoffs are better when Sidney Crosby's in the playoffs.
100%.
The NHL playoffs are better when Alexander Ovechkin's in the playoffs.
100%. 100%. Right. But you're not going to get any – you're not going to – get any love lost from Philly fans, that's for sure.
No, you're not.
Yeah, no.
You know, Pittsburgh's 3-7. Like, what's that?
3-7-1.
What's that stat? I think it's 88% or 82%. If you're not in the playoffs by American Thanksgiving, you don't make the playoffs. And it doesn't look like, you know, that's a month from now. Is Pittsburgh going to be in a playoff spot? Probably not. And that's a crazy stat that it goes back that far to American Thanksgiving, that if you're not in the playoffs then you've got a 10 or 12% chance of making it.
Yeah, it is wild, isn't it? Because
it's wild.
You can get in such a role that, you know, and we obviously saw what the St. Louis Blues were able to do, you know, when they won their cup back in 2019 was pretty absolutely spectacular of their run. But it's very rare because the game is so good now. There's so many great players. The parity is so good. You really can't rely on going through big runs like that because you can lose to any team at any time. There's not one team in the National Hockey League that you can literally go into and have a layup win. Not even Chicago, not even Columbus, not even anybody. It is amazing. And when you fall behind like this early in the season, you spend so much more time and effort trying to chase back in that even if you do get to the playoffs, it's grueling. I mean, you don't have any days off. It's tough.
You're absolutely right. It's funny you bring that up because I said this to a buddy of mine last night. I said, do you know why betting on hockey is so difficult? And I know every sport's difficult. But the Flyers are in Boston last night. The Flyers are not good this year. And they shut out the Boston Bruins at home, 2-0. The Kings are in San Jose. San Jose is terrible, right? They're terrible. And they win. The Sharks win 4-2. Those were two games you'd probably say, I'm going to put $50 down and take Boston and L.A., and you just never know. You never know in this league, right?
And also, you know, when you're betting and you're betting the plus 1.5 or the minus 1.5, you know, that especially the plus 1.5, that empty net goal becomes, you go betting the over under and you bet under and that empty net goal goes in. It's a killer. That empty net goal is what it's the decider in terms of your whether you should be betting on the National Hockey League or not. There's no question. But the goals are going in. They're going in bushelfuls. And it's kind of a interesting leader in the top of the pack to start the first 10 games of the season, the Nico Hischier out of New Jersey. Wow, is he on fire right now. Cole Caulfield, who is an awesome sniper, a great shooter.
Right,
super sniper. You know, the two are tied at top of the league at 9. I mean, that's an amazing start for these two kids starting this season. I mean, they're almost on 70 goal paces.
Kyle Connor
again. And again, we talked about him just not getting any attention, right, as one of the stars of the league. But is Nico Hischier is he a goal scorer? Like, I know he's scoring goals, but I think he's probably known more as maybe more utility forward, a centerman, a very good defensive line, you know, dependable center.
He's a great player. And you know, not to take anything away from Lindy's coaching when he was with Jersey, but I think under the new regime with Kyle Dubas, mm-hmm. it might be a little bit more offense oriented. And so maybe they're getting that freedom that they maybe didn't have with a prior coach that Dubas is now giving them. So, you know what, this Jersey team, they've got a great team. They're atop of the Metropolitan Division. They got great goaltending. They've got great depth in that lineup. When you think of the Hughes, Jasper Bratt, Timo Meier, you know, this is a good hockey club. So, it's fun to see. You're talking about goal scorers. We got to talk about Ovi. Ovi potted 2 last night, and neither one of them were empty net goals. So
no, okay. No, he actually brought back some of the vintage Ovi that right. we're used to, right? Just the way he can fire that puck, man, and the consistency that this guy scores goals over his career. I have said, made it publicly, and I've said it on this podcast many, many times, he's the best goal scorer I've ever seen. Now, people can say, yeah, well, Mario was the best goal scorer, or Gratz was the best goal scorer, Mike Bossy, or you can say all this stuff, Brett Hall. But to see what Ovi has been able to do over his career in terms of 50 goals, 49 goals, 45 goals, 50 goals, he has been the model of consistency as goals go per year.
It's unbelievable. He truly, you might be right. He may be the purest goal scorer of all time. It's incredible. He only needs 37 to tie, 38 to pass Wayne. I think the end of last year, we were wondering if he would do it. Would it take 2 or 3 more years? I think, I don't think he'll do it this year. I don't think he's going to be a 40 plus 40 goal scorer, but you never know. But I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that he breaks it next year.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you because his consistency right now is not there. He does get hot. Last year didn't look like he was going to score 20, not even 15 at one point, and all of a sudden he rattled off like 15 in the last 20, and just got red hot. And that's what Ovi can do because, you know, obviously this power play. And he is going to be on the ice for every single empty net at the end of every game. So winning hockey games for Washington is going to be very important for Ovi in terms of getting that. But, man, the guy can absolutely shoot the puck. He'll go 4, 5, 6 games without scoring a goal. Then he'll score 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Then he'll go 4, 5, or 6 games again without scoring a goal. Then they'll score, you know, 3 in the next 4. Right, then he breaks. I just don't think that's the recipe for getting it done this year. I mean, yes, next year he's 39 now. He'll be 40 next year.
Yeah,
well within the in his realm and in his range of doing that. I didn't think he was going to do it, but now, you know, just
you didn't, eh?
No, I didn't think he was going to do it. No, especially last year. You know, when he was going through his slow spell last year, but. Watching and seeing him and what, you know, how he's moving on the ice. And, you know, he still has some gusto, man. He still looks good for 39, man. He's rolling along. He's one of those freak of nature guys. Obviously he's a bull. He's got, He's got an ass like a dump truck. I mean, the
You know
kid
what?
is just,
You think
you
about it. He has not had, knock on wood, he has not had many injuries throughout his career.
No.
And this isn't a guy that plays on the perimeter. Like he's in there, he throws a weight around, he's
Yeah.
physical. He's built like a brick shit house, is what he is.
Yeah, he really is. That's actually a good, that's a good description of Ovi. He is a brick shit house. Very solid. I remember seeing him in Tampa one year. We were down there. I was doing the television role at that point, and watched Washington come in and saw them at a restaurant. And Ovi walked into the restaurant, and I swear to God, his legs are bigger than a horse.
I
I
know.
mean, literally his thighs are as big as my upper body, you know, now, not my upper body back then, but my upper body now, which is a little bit bigger than it was before. But just absolutely just strung out and built like a,
Yeah. No,
and he impresses me every time he fires one of those pucks top shelf, and the way he releases that puck. And for a guy who doesn't move very much on the power play, and every
right.
single person is trying to get him that puck, it's going to be a very, very interesting and exciting game when he has one goal to tie and then one goal to win. I'm sure it's going to be the most watched team around the world to watch
Well,
that.
you know Gretz will be there. He'll be there to congratulate him and
Well, the
offer.
way it's going, Gretz is going to have to probably get like get a train of tickets, because it might take him 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 games before he gets it. But I'm sure Gretz will be at everyone, watching everyone, because he does want to be there. I'm sure that's how classy Gretzky is. He wants to be there to pass that torch.
Listen, we got to talk about one of the, if not the best player in the National Hockey League. He's out 2 to 3 weeks in a freak injury. I don't even know. You and I were kind of talking about it off air, what we think it is, but Connor McDavid's out 2 to 3 weeks, and he got tripped up at the blue line in Columbus,
So
and
weird.
out 2 to 3 weeks.
It's so strange. I don't even know what happened. He got the stick caught in him, and just a little tip, and he went down. I think it looks like he hurt his ankle or whatever, but let's just hope he gets back okay, and soon, because Edmonton cannot afford to have him out. They have already started out with a real crappy year, and having him out does not help that team. But we have our guest that is waiting online, so we are going to bring on one of my favorite people of all time. Not just players, but one of my favorite people of all time. And after you listen to our good friend Mark Recchi speak, I think everybody here will understand why Mark Recchi is one of my favorite people of all time. But he might, there he is. There's my boy. There
What's
he
up?
is. What's up, Rexy? See what I mean? That's exactly why he's one of the greatest guys of all time. You see the smile on his face, Tim? You see how he lights up? You see how he just brightens up a room? That's Mark Recchi. Mark, what's up? What's up, Rex? I love you, man.
Much, buddy. How you guys doing?
Thanks for coming on with us, man. How was lunch?
It was good. Yeah, it was good. Just catching up on an old friend. So,
That a boy. That a boy.
yeah. JR, before we start, Rex, first of all, thank you for coming on. But I have one question I want to read off to our listeners. Mark Recchi, 5'10", 185, drafted in the fourth round. Games played 1652, 1533 points, 577 goals, 956 points, 1,000 PIMs, 3 Stanley Cups as a player, 2 as a coach. Who the hell were the guys taken in the first 3 rounds that the scouts missed you and took you in the fourth round? JR and I talked about
I was one of
it.
them. I was one of the guys that took one of the spots.
Yeah, you did okay though, didn't you?
Yeah, we did okay. But again, remember we talked to him about
We did.
the first 10 picks of that year, and how many goals
Unbelievable.
he scored.
Yeah.
This gentleman right here was in the fourth round,
That's unbelievable.
and he scored 577 goals. I mean, Rex, seriously, how did you do it? Honest to God, like what was it about your game you think that made you so successful?
I found wine early in my career.
Yes, we
No,
both know.
honestly, JR, like, you know, you're not the biggest guy either, and we played a very similar style, and you know, we weren't afraid to go to the net. We weren't afraid to get ugly to score goals, and we wanted to do it any way we could, and you know, we could score from the outside, but you know, if you probably look at a lot of our goals that we scored over our career, there everything was inside, and you know, we were trying to find ways to score and help the team as best we can.
You know what's amazing, Rex, is that, you know, I knew a lot about you and your great career in that, but I didn't know you were I was doing some research the other day. You were the oldest player to score in the Stanley Cup final at 43 years old. How did you keep your body that healthy at 43 to play? Like, not a lot of guys play in their 40s.
Yeah, you know what? Obviously, I stayed pretty healthy through my career, which was a big part of it. Fitness was a big. I mean, I really focused on. I figured out kind of late 20s. I kind of figured out what my body, what I really needed to do to be really fit every year, and what I needed for me to be successful, and I just kept that going for a long time. I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you. It got harder every summer. You know, to do that, especially if you went a little bit ways in the playoffs and then you just had that, you didn't have that downtime that, you know, you needed maybe, you know, cause it's nice to have that when you can, you know, build everything back up over the course of the summer that's been broken down through the course of the season. And you know, you try and maintain during the season, but it's hard, you know, it's not so easy. You know, I was very fortunate. And then, you know, I just kept plugging away, and you know, that last year, the last finals, I can honestly say I wasn't a third round. I was kind of a non-factor, and then obviously got to the finals and kind of got rejuvenated, and you know, I should have been rejuvenated in the semis too, but you know, it was taking its toll on a 43-year-old, but I was very fortunate to find the energy to you know, to really, you know, kind of get, you know, help the team out in the finals, which was obviously the most important part.
Yeah, I mean, I know how I felt at 39. I can't even believe. And what a lot of people don't realize is you're 43, Rex. You played 81 games in your last season. I mean,
that's unbelievable.
That is absolutely unbelievable. If you ask somebody like me or Peelsy, we know what it's like in the league and how grueling it is. But at 43 years old, to be able to play that many games was incredible. You played in some great teams too. Obviously, you know, we know about your cups and all that stuff. But is there one team and one specific, I don't know, maybe moment on that team that was probably your most favorite, or something that changed you the most? Which what do you think? That's a tough question to ask because you played with so many good teams and players, but is there one specific for you?
Well, you know what? I don't know if it's a specific time, but I was very fortunate when I came into the league. Bob Johnson, I had played kind of the year before, but then Brian Trottier and Joel Mullen came into Pittsburgh, and he sat me between those two. And having those guys, you know, obviously you still have Mario and you know, some great other players, you know, Paul Coffey ended up being there. But when you get in between those two guys and you're around them every day, it just made a difference for me in my career. Then as I got older, I kind of wanted to be that guy. I wanted to be the guy that, you know, they were, how great they treated me. And you know, we'd sit around in the stall and I'd be ready to go out for practice like 20 minutes early. Like every young guy, and they're telling stories, but I didn't want to leave because they're telling me stories, and especially Trotz. Joey Mullen was a little quieter, but Trotz was always telling stories and talking, and I'm like, I can't leave. And then, you know, Badger Bob would walk by, and I'd be looking, going, oh, my God, I got to get those guys. And then he'd look there. I mean, Badger did it for a reason, you know, like he put me there for a reason, and, you know, it was just like unreal. So.
I know you played with Lindros in Philly. Was that the Legion of Doom year?
No, he was. That was Legion of Doom. Was Michael Renberg and John LeClair.
LeClair.
We were the Crazy Eights when he first came in.
Ah, the Crazy Eights.
Yeah, we were the Crazy Eights. So yeah.
What was he like, Rex? Because he was just such a beast of a man. Like,
yeah, no, that's That's exactly it. I mean, he was a centerman at 6'4", 6'5", 240 pounds, and like that could, you know, stick handle through, you know, in a phone booth and you know, be physical and fight, and you know, he had everything. It's unfortunate what happened. We never got to see, you know, it would have been great to see 15, 18 years of him. But you know, just incredible talent, and just the size was just, you know, you didn't see a lot of that, especially at center, and that could, you know, play a real physical game as well.
Yeah, and you know, again, going back to some of these years, you know, 92, when we lost to Pittsburgh in the finals, it was unbelievable how many Hall of Famers were on that team. I don't know if you were quite there, if you were still there, were there 92, Rex?
No, I got traded for Tuck that year.
That's right. You got traded for Tuck. I knew it was something of that nature was. Yeah. But you played on that team, and you saw what power that they had. I mean, Jaromir Jagr, talk a little bit about Jagr, because obviously Mario gets so much attention. Jagr just retired last year. What was it like playing on the team with him, obviously having two superstars of that magnitude, and you're a superstar. Ron Francis is a superstar. You know, we can go right on down the list of the stars on that team, but what was it like having two great players, like, which Pittsburgh has always seemed to have, because now they have with Malkin and Crosby, but what was Jagr like?
Yeah, he was young. Like he was 18 and 19 when I was with him, or, you know, part of his 19-year-old. And he was just a raw young man who had talent coming out of the wazoo. I mean, it was incredible. The talent he had. And he had an incredible work ethic. You know, from the time he was 18 to the following summer, his leg strength went like double. And it was just like, he put the work in, and just his skill, just skill level, and his commitment to being a great player was fun to watch. And then, you know, obviously he just, you know, Mario, they just kind of took off, the two of them, you know, when he, you know, the, you know, he's, you know, you two MVPs on one team. That could have won it any, you know, either one of them could have won it each year. And it was incredible when you have that. And again, he was a big guy too. Yep. I mean, he was a big guy. He's a big thing.
How was that camaraderie? Like, how was that relationship when you have two guys of that magnitude? And I know Mario is obviously older, and Jagr is the young buck, but still, the star power of that magnitude on the same team can sometimes get a little tense, no?
Yeah, no, that, you know, Mario's such a classy guy and such a great guy.
Yeah.
That never, he wants everybody to do great, and he just wants the team to be, you know, great. I mean, he was, you know, very fortunate. You know, we won a couple in a row there. They, you know, could have won a third one. You know, that was probably their best team. But, you know, like you said, the Eagles, everybody put their Eagles aside anyways, because, you know, you had Brian Trotche, Joey Mullen, Larry Murphy was in the Hall of Fame. Tom Barrasso was in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to miss him. I mean, Paul Coffey. You know, you just go down the list. Ronnie Francis, Kevin Stevens going in the USA Hall of Fame. I mean, you just look at the list of guys. It was incredible what we had. And, you know, the guys that, you know, you just put it aside. We just had a great group of guys. We had fun together. You know, we drank a lot of beer together and enjoyed playing the game.
So, Rex, you grew up in Kamloops and you played for your hometown Kamloops Blazers. I don't think anybody would say you were the Connor McDavid or Nathan MacKinnon of skating, but obviously your intelligence and your smarts got you to where, you know, obviously eventually to the Hall of Fame. What was it that, and I want to pick your brain so I can pass it on to Bronson, but what were the things, like, for example, your son, Brendan, who I got to meet in Detroit a few weeks ago. He's the same year as Bronson. What are some of the things you're telling him to work on?
Well, right now, you know, I'm telling him, you know, skating's a big part right now. You know, and I'm kind of at, you know, he's at a point now, he's 12 years old now. I really haven't pushed him. I've just kind of let him play. You know, I haven't gone over and above like the skill stuff right now and everything with him getting the things. And that, I think right now he's starting to develop. Now's the time for me to do it. So I've just been talking to him about, you know, the skating, the edge work. We were talking to him yesterday about shooting in stride. He had a skills guy yesterday. So we were kind of showing him, you know, how to shoot in stride. You know, don't base yourself, and you know, it can, you know, just little things like that. Right now, I'm kind of teaching them, you know, puck battles, just teaching them, you know, what's the difference between, you know, a soft play, hard play, good play, like, you know, just things like that. And that's just, I'm just trying to help him get through it. He loves a game and he's really smart. So, you know, he picks it up real quick. And, you know, that's what I'm hoping in the next 3-4 years he develops into that. Because my oldest son was, you know, he was probably ahead of him at this time. And he ended up playing D1 college and doing a good job. So, you know, hoping maybe along that same path.
Yeah, I watched him the other day when you guys were in the semifinals. I watched him for a period and a half, and I could tell he thinks the game. The best part, JR, when you're older and you're retired and you have kids later in life is you run into guys, whether it be Hal Gill on the road, Marty Erat, Jamal Mayers, different guys that you refereed, and now your kids are playing, and
yeah.
It's the best. And Rex, there is nothing better than watching your kid. I know you won Stanley Cups and all that and all the personal achievements you have, but is there anything greater than sitting there and coaching your kid and watching him play?
No, it's unreal. I love it. And, you know, I actually enjoy that this part about coaching more than coaching in the NHL. It's just, you know, it's really rewarding for these, you know, being with these young guys and, you know, getting out in practice and talking to them and helping them with things and just to work with them. It's, you know, we got a video session tonight and, yeah, you know, talk a little power play tonight. So I'm not sure the best guy for that, but yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Talk a little power play and you know.
You were the king of power play specialists, Rex. There's no question about that. And, you know, talk about that because you talk about coaching your son. You coach in the National Hockey League. You coached these kids that are playing today. It's obviously a different game. It's a different style. It's a different attitude. It's a different mentality. What were your visions or your opinions on being around this generation right now, both personally, personality, you know, their preparation, obviously their talent? You were around it. You got to see it firsthand. Give us your thoughts of the game today and the player of today.
Yeah, well, there, you know what, it is a different, you know, I'm fortunate I have kids that were, you know, a lot of these kids' age now. So, you know, obviously knowing how to handle them, how to communicate with them, how to work with them is extremely important. And, you know, it's definitely different. You know, you got to be less confrontational. You got to really work with them, really talk to them. You know, I was very fortunate in Pittsburgh. You know, you have guys like Gintz, O'Brien, Ross, you have a group of guys like that in Pittsburgh with, you know, great leaders like Sid. And, you know, when I was in New Jersey, I absolutely loved coaching Jack Hughes. Mm-hmm. This kid was, he just wanted to get better. And it was so much fun for me. Like every day he wanted to sit and talk, and we'd sit on the ice or just, you know, drill pucks or whatever. And he wanted to be a player and wanted to get there and wanted to understand about winning. And that was so much fun for me. And, you know, I just really thoroughly enjoyed, you know, that part of it. And we had some other great guys, you know, Zaka and Nico Hishi, obviously, as well, just with Brad. But Jack and I just thought he went above and beyond how he wanted to get better. So it was kind of neat for me to see that.
Hey, Rex, we were talking before you came about JR's having some computer problems. We were talking before.
Dude, it's terrible. This is what happens when you, that's, this is what happens when you have to do things on the road. You have to do makeshift studios.
We were talking before, like, for example, the Four Nations Cup that's coming on, they're saying that the Canadian goalies are going to be probably Binnington, Montembeau, and I forget the third. And I see Montembeau get blown up for 8 goals last night. And personally, I think Binnington will probably be the starter. But I'm looking around the league because last night there was a couple 8 spots put up in a couple of the games. Ottawa put 8 up. I think Seattle did. I don't see the when you guys played Brodeur, Belfort, Cujo, Hasek, like you could go down the list. There was 10 in the league that were studs. Do you think the goaltending's at the level that it was back in the early 2000s?
Yeah, I really don't think so. I agree with you there. I think, you know, there was, you know, there was true number ones back. Like now there's 1A and 1B.
Right.
You know, there's just, you know, there's only a few guys that are really like true guys. And these, I mean, back then they played 60 to 70 games.
I think Verdure played 75 or 78 one year.
Yeah. You know, now it's, you know, we got 50, 52 games. The travel's way easier now than it was when we, back then. I mean, you know, when those guys were playing, because we were flying commercial.
Right.
You know, we were flying commercial. Now they get the charter, they get in, they get their rest, and, you know, which is great. But, you know, it's such a different ball game now in terms of that for the goalies. And it is going to be interesting to see the goaltending for Canada. You know, I would agree. It seems like Binnington's the guy, but, you know, I've, you know, Connor Ingram in Utah,
uh-huh,
a great young goalie as well that, you know, if he can get off to a real good start here, he's been okay. But, you know, you got some guys like that, some new blood along the way here. But, you know, that's the one thing, Canadian goaltending, it seems to be a little bit of a lack of it. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Four Nations for sure.
Yeah, we had this conversation last week about goaltending, and I agree with you. I think, you know, we have a couple of really good goaltenders in the league, but they're not as prevalent as they were back in the 90s. And, you know, obviously you and I and PLZ, we're going to be more positive to the 90s because that's when we were. We're going to like our generation better. But you had Shesterkin, who just said no to an $11 million contract. What's your thoughts about goaltending and salaries and goaltending? We saw Draisaitl making 14.5. We said last week goaltender is arguably the most important position, but yet a lot of people, PLZ being one of them, saying you can't pay a goaltender $11 million. What's your take?
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, everything's salaries are going up right now, and it's gone that way with Draisaitl, and you know obviously it's going to go that way with some other people, the Matthews deals and stuff like that. So if he's your best player in your team, but you know the thing about it is they play 50 games, so it's like, you know, how much money can you put into goaltending, even though it's extremely important?
That's a valid point.
There has to be, you know, like you need a backup as well, and you need a good one because they play 25, 30 games. They're not playing 10 games like they did back in the day. So you kind of have to really manage that on the cap, especially with the cap world. You have to manage it, and it'll, you know, it's interesting. That's, you know, they're going to have, you know, I don't know who they have coming up, the New York Rangers, in terms of contracts, but I know they got some pretty good ones already, and they got some younger players that are going to have to get paid and are getting paid, you know, going to get paid. And so it's always interesting, you know, to manage that. And, you know, like I said, like 50 games are starting, 55. And then obviously the playoffs is the key, where they start every night, no matter what. But you know, that's, you know, it's a big ticket to, you know, when you have to have another one as well. So you're looking at, you know, probably $13-14 million in goaltending. So, you know, that he better be a good one.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think
it's 11, great point.
He turned down 11, so he wants obviously probably 12. And I just think it's too much to pay a goaltender. And you know, I said to Jer a couple of weeks ago, we saw Kenny Holland with the Detroit Red Wings when they won a couple cups. He did. He had Osgood. I think it was Vernon. He didn't. He and both great goaltenders. But Kenny's philosophy was, I don't need a Marty Brodeur. I'm going to surround this goaltender with a good enough defense and a good enough team. And he wouldn't pay goaltenders that much money. So it'll be interesting to see. I do want to ask you about the fighting in the game. We saw Dylan McElrath with Washington and Rempe last night. And I feel kind of bad for Rempe. He's the kid just wants to play hockey. He got sent down. They brought him up just for that one game against Washington last night. And the kid he's not a kid. He's a veteran.
He's 32 years old. Yeah.
He's been around a long time and he's paid his dues in the American League. Do you think that there's still a place in the game for fighting?
Oh, there's definitely still a game. You know, I think you still have to have it, you know, in the game. And, You know, I know there's people that say that, you know, it should be right out of it, but you know, you know, I think you need a little bit of it to police the game still. You know, you can get guys running around. If you watch college hockey, or there's no fighting, and they, you know, it's crazy. They just run around like crazy, and you know, it's there's scrums all the time, and you know, there's things like that. That doesn't happen as much in NHL because you still have to be accountable for what you're doing. At times, it's not even close to what it was way back when. Like, you don't really have to fight now. You know, there's probably players that start, they'll never have to have a fight in the NHL,
right,
which is fine. But you know, JR, no, we had to hold our own. We had to, you know, get in the odd scrap, and you know, I always thought, well, I'll scrap somebody, and then I figure, you know, hey, you know, the guys, then I'll have a little bit of respect, and you know, maybe, you know, those guys that are maybe a little smaller than me, which weren't a lot of them, like, you know, I can chase them around and you know, and maybe try and intimidate them, and you know, like, you know, because you know JR didn't get intimidated, I didn't get intimidated, but I mean, if Joey Koster was looking at me, I mean, I'd be scared to death. I mean, but I would have grappled onto him as tight as I could. So,
you know what bugs me now, Rex, is when I see Trouba last week and Gudas throw great clean checks, and immediately they've got to fight somebody. It pisses me off. It's like these guys that throw a nice clean hard hit, and all of a sudden they got to look around because someone's coming at them. Like, we can't take, as you know, and JR knows, we can't take the physicality out of our game.
Yeah, no, and it is true. Like, you know, and it, like I said, we're dating ourselves, but back in the day, we didn't have to, like, if you made a good hit, you didn't fight. You didn't have to fight. Everybody like, wow, that was a good one. I think the bench, come to the bench and you'd say, you got robbed.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. We'd be like, you know, we didn't want to see anybody got hurt, but, you know, we're like, well, it was a clean hit. What are you going to do? Like, that's, right. You know, 31, things were going to get taken care of, but
yeah.
You know, we knew the difference. Now it's just automatic. Like, a good, I mean, that was a really good hit. Like, he actually even let up. The Gudas one let up.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He even
it's almost like this is the way that these kids show that they're loyal to the team, right?
Yeah.
Like, just play hard every night. Show up every night. Be that hard player to play against. Be that guy that, you know, that does the important thing to save a game, block a shot, finish a check. You know, all the little things that we always talk about. Play physical. You don't have to go fight somebody every time something happens. I think it's a false honor sort of thing to stick up for your teammate like that. If you want to stick up for your teammate, show up every night. Do your job every night. What's Mark Recchi's what's his favorite moment? What's your favorite moment? And I mean hockey wise, not life wise, but just hockey. There's got to be a favorite moment that was like, you think about still today.
Well, my first game obviously was a special moment. I was in Toronto. It was the old Maple Leaf Garden. I got called up. I had a mohawk for being, you know, my rookie initiation down in Muskegon. And, you know, so I had a nice crooked mohawk going into my first NHL game. So, I mean, obviously that was a special one. And, you know, winning your first cup is incredible. You know, I was very fortunate with that. And just, you know, those memories you just never forget. And you know, Jerry, you know, the bonds and the relationships you build over the years. I mean, you know, when we run into each other and we get a chance to see each other, it's like we've been spending every day together, you know, like we never miss a beat. And those
never miss a beat
times, as you know, like Pielzy and JR, those to me, like just those lifelong friendships you have. And I just never forget that about, you know, being with all my teammates. And, you know, I'm going back to Boston, you know, to play in the Flyer Warriors game. We're going to get a lot of the 2011 team together that won. And I, you know, I can't wait for that. You know, we're on a text right now, and, you know, you don't forget that. And I'm still on a mass text from 2011 team. And we still text all the time together. So it's
awesome. It's a bond. It's a bond that you'll never lose.
No, never. I mean, we'll still be, you know, I'm a lot older than those guys, but you know, I'll be 70 and they'll be, you know, whatever, 45, 50. They'll be texting. I don't know, new technology, I might not be able to handle it at that point.
Those Warrior programs are phenomenal. I participate in the ones here in St. Louis with the Blues Warriors, and the Philly Warriors actually sent me a hoodie. I've worn it on our show. And you want to bring yourself, if you're having a bad day or you think your life sucks for whatever reason, you hang around these guys for a couple hours, these veterans that served our country and gave everything. I was told JR a story once. It was Christmas Eve morning, and Rob Ramage asked me to come out with the Blues Warriors. And I'm sitting on the bench with this guy, Tim Taylor's his name. And I'm like, Timmy, you're like a really good player. And he goes, not bad. And he pulls off his glove and he's got like a stump for a hand because he lost it in Fallujah in a bomb. And I left that rink driving home on Christmas morning. I go, this could not have been a better way to start my Christmas, because it really puts everything into perspective.
Yeah, yeah, it sure does. And it's incredible. Like those programs now, like, you know what, you know, they help us as much as we help them.
Right.
Hear that. I mean, being around them, and it's just incredible how they are, and they love life. And, you know, hockey, you know, a lot of guys, I know it's really helped a lot of guys. It's just given them a little bit more purpose when they get back, come over. And like you said, a lot of them, unfortunately, have, have been shot or lost limbs, or, you know, something's gone on. Yeah. Just to be around them, and they're out there having a blast playing hockey, loving it, competing. And it's just so much to be part of around, and then, you know, having a drink with them after, and, you know, it's always fun.
Where are you these days? Are you still in Pitt, Trek?
Yeah.
Okay. So since you're in Pitt, you've watched a lot of games. They are awful this year. They're one of the last place teams in the league, 48 goals against. It's awful. And it's a shame when you have such superstars on your team, even though they're older. But what's going on there in Pittsburgh, and what are they saying? What's going on in the media? There's got to be a lot of hype going on right there right now.
Yeah, you know, I just I've kind of haven't been much involved with the Penguins, as you know, I usually am. And you know, I think their goaltending, number one, hasn't been great. You know, obviously Jari got off to a really tough start. You know, now he's down and now I'm trying to find his game. And you know, they got a young kid they're relying on. They've got a couple backups as their goalie. You know, they had the game under control last night. I was watching that last night, and they had the game under control, and the young kid let in an ugly goal, and it turned the game around. And, you know, and then, you know, I think they're a little slower, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
They're a lot slower. You know, I don't think they added a lot of speed over the summer, and it's just unfortunate, you know, because Sid and Gino and you know, they're just – you know, they're still giving whatever they can, those guys. I mean, they're their best players.
Yeah. Did management go the wrong way a couple of years ago by not starting to rebuild, by just continuing to try to hold on and do what they – and just keep some of the players that maybe were fan favorites? But it really hurt the team in terms of where they are right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's so hard because, you know, they're obviously – you know, I think the new ownership group was in a tough, you know, they're in a tough spot by the team, and they're, you know, they're kind of on the decline. What do you do? Do you alienate your fan base right away by making some hard decisions, or do you, you know, try and see if you could retool it? And it seems like they tried to retool it. And then when they brought in Kyle, Kyle Dubas, when they brought him in, you know, I think, I'm not sure they needed a guy like Eric Carlson personally. You know, I'm not sure they needed that type of player. Thought they needed something different. But, you know, and then, you know, to lose a guy like Jake Guentzel, you know, Sid's been Sid's left winger for a long time. You know, you don't get a ton for him. And, you know, that's a big hole. Now, you know, that's a big hole in the top six. You know, you can't fill it. You know, now you're on it. You know, now you got a guy who's been one of the best players to ever play the game, and you know, doesn't have a whole lot to play with. And last night he had Malkin, and you know, with Crosby, actually Malkin playing wing last night, and they were their best players. But it's just been a tough decision to make. But I think they're going to probably have to make that decision sooner or later, because it's, you know, yeah, obviously not going the right direction now.
So. Yeah, it's time.
JR asked me before we came on, if I was surprised that Sid re-signed, and I said not at all. I said you know him probably better than I do off the ice, and I just don't think it was in his makeup, Rex, to sign with another team.
Yeah, no, he's a loyal person, and he's a great person. You know, I thought it took a lot longer than I thought it was going to take. Obviously, Sid put a ton of thought into it, like he does everything, and you know, obviously felt this was the right decision for him, and you know, to see where this go and see where they can hopefully maybe try and find a way for them to be competitive, you know.
Yeah.
And it would have been nicer 4 or 5 years ago, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Try and make those decisions 4 or 5 years ago. You probably would have been, if you did it right at this time, you probably would have been given Sid another chance at, you know, 37, yeah, 39 years old to be a champion again, because because it would have been a number of years ago. That was probably the time to do it.
In saying that, Rex, you know, I was having this conversation with Andrew Peters and Craig Revey on After the Whistle this morning. They made a very good point. And you did say that Crosby is a very loyal person, okay? And it isn't out of the realm of maybe very smart planning or conversation. He does get a huge bonus July 1st of next year, where the team's gonna have to pay him a good bonus. But one thing you don't wanna do is you don't wanna just allow Sidney Crosby to leave and not get anything back for him. And it's not out of the question. You know, he's in great shape. The guy can still go, can still roll. He's got a lot left in him. And if this doesn't shape up for the team right now in this year, and they miss the playoffs again this year, after the summer's over, I don't think it's out of the question that they'll say, Sidney, okay, where do you wanna go? You want to have a chance to win a cup somewhere and trade him and get something valuable back for him, something that you'll have something, a couple draft picks, a couple something. But it could be what they're thinking. I know it's a long shot, but when you think about it, if you're going to rebuild, how's the best way to rebuild is by getting something back for something very valuable. And yeah, maybe this two-year contract allows that to happen. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Thoughts?
Well, the number he kept, which is very superstitious, obviously, for him, but it's also a number that's realistic for them to move as well. At some, yeah, you know, if it ever came to that, you know, and you know, it's not like it's not a terrible. It's a contract that, you know, hey, if Sid just decided, hey, I want to go, which I have no idea. It doesn't seem like it to me, but if he just said, hey, I want to go, that's not a hard contract to move.
You know, I know JR and I have not argued, but we disagree on this, and I just don't see it happening. Just everything I know about Sid, I just see him retiring at Edmonton. But one quick question before we let you go. Clayton, Pittsburgh, great fans. Boston, great fans. Philadelphia, great fans. Wasn't it amazing last night watching Fleury and the reaction from the Pittsburgh fans, Rex? Like, they love you guys that had success in that city and gave it your all. And the people in Pittsburgh just absolutely love this guy.
Oh, they do. And for good reason. This guy's an incredible person. I mean, you still watch him, you know, watch him practice every day. He has so much fun on the ice. It's incredible. And it's infectious, you know. Like, he's just this great person. He's like this every day. You know, he's just an amazing guy, got an amazing work ethic, and, you know, he's got a great family. You know, he's just, it's so fun to see. And it's so, that was, you know, obviously it was sucked for the fans last night in terms of them losing, but because it was Flower, like, okay, they know it's his last time they're going to see him. And, you know, so it was great to see that they did that. And they are great fans, and, you know,
yeah,
in every place you play. And I was just, yeah, in JR this past weekend, and I did a little bit of ambassador, a little schmoozing up in the suites and that. I mean, they remember our back in our days when, you know, when we, and they love it, you know. They're like, oh, we're fans from, you know,
yeah,
the years that we were together, and, you know, man, you know, we loved you guys, and, you know, it was, yeah, it was pretty neat. So, you know, any place you go, and, you know, they love people that are good people and compete and do the right, yeah, things.
Well, we were lucky to play in some good cities, and I was lucky as hell to be to be your teammate and your friend, Rex. And we can't thank you enough for coming on with us. I know you're a busy guy, but you are the best, and I love you lots. I can't wait to see you again. I hope you're.
Yeah.
I hope you're up at the Hall of Fame in a couple of weeks. If you are.
Yeah, I'm working on it, buddy. I'm working on getting up there, so I sure hope.
Awesome.
To, so.
I love you, buddy. I love you, buddy. Yeah. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it,
Timmy. Yeah. Say- no problem. And Pierce, it's great. Not yelling at you, or you yelling at me. So this is great.
Listen, the most important last question is:
yeah.
Brendan and your team playing in Chicago this weekend.
They are. They are. They're this weekend again. Yeah, my wife's okay. Gonna go up for that.
Are you gonna be?
No, I'm not gonna be there this weekend.
Okay. Well, I'm going up to Wisconsin, so I'll have to look. Yeah. I'll have to look out for the Pittsburgh Pens elite and night over and watch him and see how he's doing. I'll text.
Yeah.
Well, awesome.
I love you, Mark. Thanks again, and all the best. And I hope
love you guys.
See you
thanks, man.
Okay.
Thanks,
okay,
Rex.
Buddy, that's the man.
He's
what a
the
great
best.
Man. What right? a guy. Absolutely love him. Love him to death. He was amazing teammate, and geez, what a player! Holy shit, could he play?
He's just a good person. Like, listen, I was nobody. You know, I was a ref. And I know you got to get back to work. But very quickly, I walk into this restaurant in Detroit, and I'm trying to get my team a table at the restaurant. And I feel this hand on my shoulder, and I turn around, and he goes, hey, Pielsy. I go, hey, Rex. And we had a couple beers and just shot the shit. And it was like, he's such a nice person.
Yeah, he's the best.
I just love him.
Just humble. Played for a long time. Played for a long time, 23 years, 24 years. Jeez, unbelievable. 24 years.
He played 52 games.
Just
That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. 24 years. It's ungodly to me. It's just, I can't believe it. 23. But anyway, buddy, hey, great job. Great job today. Way to break, get on Rex. And we will see you next week. Thanks to Whiskey in the Wild. Thanks to Bet Online and Protecting Net Guards. We will see everybody next Wednesday. We don't know what time because it always seems to be moving around and shifting around. But hope you had a lot of fun. Hope you enjoyed Mark Recchi and from Tim Peel and myself. This is Snipes and Stripes over and out.
See you, buddy.